May it please the court. My name is Junaid Akai, and I represent the appellants, Cable Services Limited et al. I'd like to reserve 3 minutes for rebuttal, please. Appellants are rural hotels and restaurants located in such places as Pueblo, Gunnison, Crested Butte, Salida, Sedalia, La Junta, and Empire, who have been adversely impacted by the unconstitutional increases in the Colorado minimum wage. This case is about those adjustments and how the Colorado minimum wage has been adjusted under the Colorado Constitution. In 2006, Colorado voters narrowly passed Amendment 42, which was subsequently codified at Article 18, Section 15, and in pertinent part states, Colorado's minimum wage shall be increased to $6.85 per hour and shall be adjusted annually for inflation as measured by the consumer price index used for Colorado. This court should reverse the district court below because Amendment 42 is unconstitutionally vague or has been unconstitutionally applied. The argument here is quite simple. Amendment 42's escalator clause, which adjusts the minimum wage for inflation as measured by, quote, the consumer price index used for Colorado, is definable or it is not. If persons of common intelligence must guess as to its meaning and application, then Amendment 42's escalator clause is void for vagueness. If the term is definable and has meaning, then the executive and administrative agencies charged with its implementation are bound to follow the terms of Amendment 42, and they have failed to do so. Starting with the void for vagueness issue, due process under the 14th Amendment of the United States Constitution and Article 2, Section 25 of the Colorado Constitution bar amendments and statutes which are vague. The United States Supreme Court established this test in Connolly versus General Construction Company. Ironically, in the Connolly case, the U.S. Supreme Court found an Oklahoma minimum wage statute to be unconstitutionally vague. And in that case, the Supreme Court set the standard for vagueness.
Challenging the statute as facially unconstitutional?
Yes, Your Honor.
If you're challenging it as facially unconstitutional, then it has to be vague and uninterpretable in any possible meaning. Isn't that right?
Yes, Your Honor.
So if there's any meaning we can give to it, it's not void for vagueness.
Yes, Your Honor.
Are you also challenging it as void as applied to your clients?
Yes, Your Honor.
I saw that in the original complaint, but I really didn't see that in your brief to us.
The argument here, Your Honor, is that the escalator clause specifically, the words consumer price index used for Colorado, have no meaning. They don't exist and they're not defined. And if this court finds that there is no meaning behind consumer price index used for Colorado, then the amendment fails for void for vagueness on a facial challenge. However, if this court finds that that term has meaning, then the executive branch is charged with implementing the terms of that phrase, consumer price index used for Colorado, and they failed to do so in the subsequent 4 adjustments to the minimum wage. Now, in terms of vagueness here, the issue is statutory interpretation or interpretation of amendment clearly starts with the plain language. And the district court below and the appellees, the Attorney General's office, both miss the key language here in Amendment 42. The plain language of Amendment 42 states that we're using the consumer price index used for Colorado to make these adjustments, not the consumer price index used in Colorado statutes, not the consumer price index for the Denver, Boulder, Greeley metropolitan area. That is not in the terms of Amendment 42.
There ever been a consumer price index used for the entire state of Colorado prior to Amendment 42?
No, Your Honor, there's never been a consumer price index that has ever been created just for Colorado. Now, interestingly,
but there had been the Denver Boulder Greeley Consumer Price Index.
Yes, Your Honor. The United States Department of Labor, Bureau of Labor Statistics, the BLS, creates consumer price indexes. And these are a definable thing. The consumer price index is defined by the Bureau of Labor Statistics. They create 2 national indexes. They also create 4 regional indexes, one of which is the Western Regional Index, which includes Colorado and 12 other states. Those indexes, the 2 national indexes and the regional index, certainly incorporate data from all of Colorado. Then the BLS also uses 27 local metropolitan indexes. These include, as Judge Roman pointed out, the Denver-Boulder-Greeley Index. These indexes, as the BLS has pointed out, are disfavored in uses and escalator clauses such as the one contained in Amendment 42.
By the Bureau of Labor Statistics reports, right? By their question and answer sheet, they say don't use this for escalation.
Yes, Your Honor.
But the reason they say don't use it is because the sampling isn't big enough and things like that.
It's not
the rural versus urban contrast that you're arguing.
Yes, Your Honor. Well, correct, Your Honor. The BLS certainly points out that these metropolitan indices, or the local CPIs as the BLS calls them, have too much volatility, as you point out, too much measurement error. They're prone to measurement error, and the sampling size is too small. In addition, the issue with the Denver-Boulder-Greeley Index here is that it only incorporates 1/8 of the state's counties. So this is not a statewide measure. This is not a statewide metric that measures all data in the state of Colorado. Now, certainly that is what the voters believed they were voting on when they saw the words consumer price index.
How do we know that?
Well, Your Honor, there's, for a couple of reasons.
Or I should say, why do you argue that?
Your Honor, yes, Your Honor. One of the reasons is that these metrics have been used in several Colorado statutes and amendments as we've seen. Every single Colorado amendment or statute that uses a consumer price indexed inflationary adjustment specifies the exact specific BLS published index. Every single one in the state of Colorado. This is the only example of a Colorado amendment or statute that does not use a specific index under Colorado law. Furthermore, the other 9 states that have statutes or constitutional amendments similar to Colorado, whereby the minimum wage is adjusted for inflation, incorporate specific BLS published indexes.
So, excuse me, it seems to me that your argument is based on the fact that the word the consumer price index used in the state of Colorado is used in the amendment rather than the word A. Would that make a difference if the word was a consumer price index used in the state of Colorado?
Your Honor, that may certainly make a difference. The other difference is we all know that the consumer price index as a term is defined. Also, the words used for Colorado are what makes this vague. When you look at the dictionary definition of used for, specifically for, Webster's dictionary defines that as on behalf of or representing. So as a voter or any Colorado citizen looking at Amendment 42 would read the plain language, they would read the plain language to read the consumer price index representing the state of Colorado. The other issue here is that this index doesn't exist anywhere. As we've already discussed, the Bureau of Labor Statistics doesn't publish this index. No other federal agency publishes a consumer price index used for Colorado. No Colorado agency produces a CPI or consumer price index used for Colorado.
But we have at least 3 instances in the Constitution where the Denver-Boulder-Greeley CPI is specified to be used for interpreting or applying those constitutional amendments, right?
Yes, Your Honor. And that would certainly cure the constitutional infirmity here. If in Amendment 42, the voters had the chance to look at the plain text and it said the consumer price index for the Denver-Boulder-Greeley local metro area, there certainly wouldn't be a vagueness issue here.
But if you take used for Colorado as just terminology, definitive, as the judge said, the consumer price index used for Colorado, at least in those 3 instances, certainly is the Denver-Boulder-Greeley one, is it not?
Your Honor, in those 3 specific instances, absolutely. However, there are other Colorado statutes that use other BLS published consumer price indices. It's not a situation where the baseline per se rule in Colorado is that any time consumer price index is used in an amendment or a statute, that we automatically always know that it's going to be the Denver-Boulder-Greeley index. If that had been the case, we wouldn't have this constitutional issue.
But you have a heavy burden where you have to demonstrate that the law is impermissibly vague in all of its applications. And at least 3 of its applications, they've used the Denver-Boulder-Greeley. Have they not in the state constitution?
Yes, Your Honor. And again, the point would be that in those amendments and statutes, it was specifically put into the plan language, and here it is not. The only reasonable application here would be if we had a statewide consumer price index, which the Division of Labor was fully competent and aware of and have the ability to create, much like in Wyoming, they have created a statewide consumer price index, despite the fact that the Bureau of Labor Statistics doesn't publish one. So as we get back to the issue of vagueness, it's not only that it doesn't exist. This is not certainly an issue where it's just too broad or too ambiguous. It's also not defined. This term...
Are your clients at risk, though, like the defendants, I guess, or the parties were in Connolly? I mean, in Connolly, the employers are at risk, because if they didn't pay the minimum wage, they could have been penalized or whatever, prosecuted. Here, your clients aren't at risk, as they were in Connolly, because once the Division of Labor defines it as the Boulder-Denver CBI, they just pay that. They just pay that adjustment amount.
Well, Your Honor, the first issue is going back to the common issue here. Our clients certainly do face an adverse economic impact, because as economists have shown, and unfortunately we did not have the ability to present expert testimony since this was ruled on during the motion to dismiss, the inflation rate in rural areas is much lower than it is in the Denver, Boulder, Greeley in areas. So these rural businesses suffer from the fact that they are paying the inflation for urban areas, and over time, as these adjustments continue to happen, there's certainly a risk that their inflationary rate that they're paying to their employees is higher than their actual inflation in their towns, which means they can't increase their prices to the same degree.
Depends where the people in our town shop, too, doesn't it? I mean, but that's the evidentiary part we can't get to, so let's not deal with that now, because we aren't there yet.
And the other point to that is that when we have a situation where there is this minimum wage that's being imposed by the Division of Labor, the mere fact that our clients, the appellants, continue to pay that minimum wage doesn't mean that it's not unconstitutionally vague or hasn't been unconstitutionally applied. They're certainly bound to follow the Division of Labor, despite the fact that this has not been a constitutional application of the Amendment 42's escalator clause.
3 minutes left.
Let me turn your attention for a moment to the administrative argument. My understanding is that the Division of Labor held hearings on which CPI to use. There were public hearings on this, and they selected the Denver Boulder CPI based on these public hearings. Did your clients appear at the public hearings or raise some kind of a protest against the use of the CPI?
Yes, Your Honor. Our clients did appear in front of the hearings in front of the Division of Labor to protest the fact that this was not a statewide metric that was being used, and that the Denver Boulder Greeley index was not a proper index under Amendment 42's escalator clause.
So the Division of Labor received these arguments and then made its decision after receiving this information.
Yes, Your Honor.
So it wasn't totally arbitrary in that sense. They did hear what your clients had to say.
They certainly heard what our clients had to say. Under the state APA, they did exceed their constitutional and statutory authority by choosing, and this is only if CPI used for Colorado is definable and has meaning, by choosing an index other than a statewide index used for Colorado.
Your clients suggest a different CPI to be used?
Our clients have consistently maintained that the only reasonable application would be a statewide consumer price index, which the Division of Labor could very easily create, much like the state of Wyoming has. I'd like to reserve the remainder of my time for rebuttal. Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honors. Jeff Blue on behalf of the state of Colorado, registration number 32684. Your Honors, I think it's pretty clear in this situation that when the voters passed Amendment 42, they knew what was happening. The minimum wage would be set at $6.85 an hour, and that would be adjusted annually for inflation. To accept the appellant's argument here today, you have to accept the concept that the words used for actually mean the geographical four boundaries of the state of Colorado. And that's essentially an absurd argument. Those words do not mean the four corners of Colorado. They want you to accept the proposition that a CPI that has never been created for any state in Colorado, in the United States, never existed in Colorado, did not exist in Colorado when Amendment 42 was passed, is what the voters understood it to mean. And you have to presume that the voters understood that there was no such CPI. And indeed, it was pretty clear from our briefs that there are over 30 instances where the CPI in Colorado is the Denver Boulder Greeley CPI, And as you've stated today, three in the Colorado Constitution where the CPI used is the Denver Boulder Greeley CPI. And so when you think about what is used for in Colorado, which CPI is used for Colorado.
Counsel, let me back up for a second. Those three instances about the Constitution, though, the Denver Boulder Greeley CPI is in the Constitution. So to avoid a vagueness here, why didn't it just state that the CPI would be the DBG CPI in Amendment 42?
Well, thank you, Aaron. I think that goes to the crux of the issue here, and that is that as the cases state, you don't have to avoid a vagueness challenge, you don't have to be precise with mathematical precision. The voters can pass an amendment that allows for change for application or implementation by the agency. And with a constitutional amendment, as we all know, it's very difficult to pass a constitutional amendment in Colorado. You have to get the signatures, you have to go, and you have to get the voters to vote for it. And if the BLS all of a sudden decides that it is going to start issuing CPIs based on the four corners of the various states in the nation, and then Colorado starts adopting that CPI to be used to adjust for inflation in its various statutes, then there's ability to change. And for the division to come out and to say, okay, through a rulemaking process, the proper CPI to use now is the state-based CPI, because that's the one that's used for Colorado. This allows flexibility. And just because that the language of the amendment doesn't state that it has to be Denver, Boulder, Greeley, that's the point, is that it allows the flexibility to change to the one that the state of Colorado was using. And frankly, you don't even...
Would the amendment allow the division to adopt a national CPI? Is that a CPI used for Colorado? I mean, in some statute it specifies that it is, but would it under this language allow the division to adopt the national CPI?
The simple answer is yes. I think so. If they go through a proper rulemaking, the agency has discretion to do a rulemaking and to determine what is the proper CPI to be used under the amendment. If they go through a rulemaking, determine that the national CPI is the one that's used for Colorado, then that would be a perfectly appropriate CPI to pick. We probably would still be here today with the appellants, but I'd be arguing that that was an acceptable agency action so long as they go through the proper rulemaking process. And as you've heard today, there was a rulemaking process. Appellants actually were at the rulemaking hearings and were able to present testimony and argument about which CPI to use. Importantly, this is clearly not about which CPI to use. Appellants don't want the minimum wage adjusted for inflation at all, clearly. I mean, that's because they didn't argue, they said today, they didn't argue at the hearing with a different CPI. They want the BLS to go through, I'm sorry, they want the Division of Labor to go through the expense and energy of creating a CPI based on the four corners of the state of Colorado, which the BLS does not do.
Earlier, you said that we have to presume that the electorate knew that the CPI that was going to be used was the Denver Boulder Greeley Index. And I'm looking at I don't know how we presume that when the Blue Book says only that the amendment adjusts the wage annually for inflation. The proposal adjusts the wage by the rate of inflation each year. It doesn't even talk about CPIs at all. It just says it adjusts for inflation.
The language of the amendment, Your Honor, says adjusted for inflation using the CPI used for inflation.
I understand that. But
And I think what I'm talking about, the presumption here, is that the voters are presumed to be informed and to understand that there are CPIs used in statute and that one of those CPIs that is used for Colorado is going to be applied here. It could be the Denver Boulder Greeley. It could be a national CPI, as Judge Richmond asked about. It could be either one. But the point is that either one is one that is used for Colorado.
Is it significant that the amendment itself used the word the CPI used for Colorado rather than a CPI used for Colorado?
Is it significant to this argument today? I don't think so. I don't believe so. Is it significant in terms of the direction given to the division? I think it is. If the language of the amendment said a CPI used for Colorado, that would give them a bit more discretion. I think what's important to step back and think about this language is that what the language of the amendment tells the division. It says, you know, you're going to adjust this for inflation. And then it, and instead of leaving it at that and allowing the division the opportunity to figure out how it's going to adjust for inflation, it gives a bit more definition to it and says, you're going to adjust for inflation based on the CPI. And then instead of allowing this division to select any CPI, it constrains it a little more. It says the CPI used for Colorado. So it kind of constrains them a bit more. And if you really think about the argument here, plaintiffs are arguing that this is ambiguous because by getting very, very specific about what those words mean. So it's almost an ambiguous by specificity type of argument, which is kind of an oxymoron at the end of the day. The reality is what's happening here is it's allowing the division to select the CPI that's used for Colorado, giving them the discretion to do that, but also putting some boundaries around that. And for instance, if there was no language beyond adjust for inflation based on the CPI, arguably the division could select one of the regions that doesn't even include Colorado. Whereas I would argue that in this situation, we couldn't pick the Northeastern region CPI because that's not used for Colorado. It doesn't have any connection to Colorado, whereas today it is.
What was the rationale for picking the Denver Boulder Greeley CPI versus the national versus the regional at this rulemaking proceeding? Can you just tell us what it was?
And Your Honor, I apologize. I don't know the answer to that. I can tell you that they went through an exhaustive examination of the various CPIs, how they're measured, how they're used in Colorado. But I can't tell you exactly what the rationale behind that was. Of course, that would come out in a fact-based discovery process. And I want to point to the counsel mentioned Connolly. And importantly, Connolly, they actually struck down the law as vague. But you know that I'm sure you both all know that in Connolly, there was no agency interpretation. There was no agency implementation of the language that was struck down. And there is no case that has been cited by appellants or that I have found in my research where a court has struck down an agency implementation of struck down language in a constitutional amendment or a statute that was presumably vague that was that later on implemented by an agency. That hasn't happened. And there's a reason for that, because the agency fleshes it out. And if you look at Tivolino is the case that controls here today. In Tivolino, there was language that the court found that was actually ambiguous, and the agency gave it form and said defined what the net gross proceeds were in the context of the limited gaming amendment. And the court said that context, that substance added in by the agency was sufficient to make the amendment pass muster and eliminate the vagueness issue. And that's really what happened here today. Even if, first of all, we don't even have a vague amendment, what we have is a language that is general and allows for flexibility in the state so that when circumstances change, that the amendment can change with it. The minimum wage adjustment can change with changing circumstances without going through the amendment process. And the division has fleshed that out and determined which CPI fits within the requirements of Amendment 42.
As I understand the other side's argument, there was a bit of a shell game going on, and the argument goes that these constitutional amendments are very difficult to pass, as you've acknowledged, and it was a close election, and had the proponents said that we intended the CPI index to be Denver, Boulder, Greeley, that rural Colorado would have seen that and would have voted against that. Can you respond to that?
Well, I think there's my response is that there's no allegations in the complaint or in the record and no facts to support the concept that the voters were misled, and you have to presume. There's case law in our brief that deals with the fact that you presume that the voters were not misled. So I think you need to meet that presumption. They have a high burden to meet to do that. At the end of the day, that also presumes that there was this subterfuge going on. But that's because they're saying that there are only two reasons possible for doing what the drafters did with this. And that is to either mislead the voters or to... And I apologize, I need to find my notes on what the other reason they use. they say either we must, they chose this language to mean a measure them, that measures inflation for the entire state, or it's to deceive the voters. I mean, what they don't offer here, and remember, we're on a facial challenge, so there has to be any set of facts. They have to eliminate all sets of facts. Well, one of those sets of facts is that the intent wasn't to deceive the voters, the intent wasn't to use the four corners of the state of Colorado, but the intent was to create a general metric that could be altered when necessary to meet changing circumstances. So under a facial challenge, that doesn't fly to strike this down for a vagueness problem. So, and got a little bit off track, but I want to get back to the description versus the definition. Well, I think that's really what's going on here today. They want this to be a defined term, and it clearly is not a defined term. It's more descriptive. It's the general type of metric that I've talked about here today, and that is that it's not the term used for Colorado is not defined in the amendment for obvious reasons. It's not even capitalized. A defined term is typically capitalized, and in the amendment you can see that because they have the consumer price index capitalized. Used for or not is not capitalized in the amendment. If you're going to be creating a defined term, I know when I'm writing briefs to this court and other courts, I always capitalize defined terms. So that didn't happen. The legislature had the opportunity to define that term, and my guess is we wouldn't be here today if the legislature said that the term used for Colorado does mean the Denver Boulder Greeley by statute, and that would have defined the term in some way. So what has happened is that the agency took the descriptive nature of the amendment and fleshed it out for us here so that we knew what we were going to be, so that we knew what was going to happen. And as you all point out, that it's pretty clear that the plaintiffs, the appellants here, never addressed the two reasons underpinning the vagueness doctrine. And that is to avoid, to give fair warning of prohibited conduct and avoid arbitrary and capricious enforcement. Judge Richmond, you asked a question directly on this issue. And the point here is that they aren't at risk for either of those two possibilities. The fact is they have very fair warning. They had an opportunity to go to the hearing, to testify at the hearing. They knew exactly what the minimum wage was going to be in any given year. And they testified today that they've complied in the past. So there's clearly no issue of foreknowledge. And then the concern of arbitrary and capricious enforcement. There is no concern that a different judge, a different court, is going to rule differently for somebody, or that a policeman is going to come in and cite a one restaurant for not meeting whatever the minimum wage should be because that policeman decides that he's going to use the national CPI or the Northeastern CPI to adjust the minimum wage. At the end of the day, the division has adjusted the minimum wage, issues a rule every year, and has done so since the amendment was introduced, and the minimum wage has been adjusted in January of 08, 09, 10, and 11, and it's, by the way, gone up and down with inflation. And so everybody knows what the minimum wage is going forward. And so it's pretty clear here today, the voters knew what was happening. They knew that they were going to be setting the minimum wage at a higher number than it was before, that it would be adjusted for inflation going forward, and then at the end of the day, the division has fleshed out what use for Colorado means, which CPI to use, and has done so. And if you don't have any further questions, Your Honor.
So would the division be deciding what the CPI use for Colorado is on an annual basis? So it could change. It could be one year, it could be the DBG CPI, and the next year it could be another CPI. Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely, Your Honor. It certainly could. And I think that's the whole point of what we're trying to talk about here today, right? Is that there is that flexibility, and they have to go through a rulemaking process to determine which CPI best fits within the direction they've been given by the voters in Amendment 42. And they have done that. And they've been selecting the Denver Boulder Greeley over the last 5 years in the four times they've adjusted. But like I said, that could change. If all of a sudden the legislature decides to start using a national and replacing all the instances of Denver Boulder Greeley in the statutes of Colorado, and the division then looked at that and said, you know what, we think that we need to make that change too, because the legislature has spoken on this issue, they could do that.
Couldn't very well do that with the constitutional amendments, could they? Because those have been passed by the voters. Like Tabor has the Denver Boulder Greeley CPI in it, does it not?
You're correct.
The legislature cannot change that.
The legislature can't change that. But remember, there are over 30 instances of the Denver Boulder Greeley CPI used in statute. And so if all 30 of those were changed, and then you have the three in the Constitution that are the Denver Boulder Greeley CPI, then we would have the argument here, presumably, about whether it was appropriate to pick the national when the legislature has made those changes and where the voters haven't changed the three in the Constitution. So we would have that debate at some point about whether that was an appropriate shift to make by the division. But clearly, with when there are 30 instances in the statutes, three instances in the Constitution where the Denver Boulder Greeley CPI is used to adjust for inflation in Colorado, it's not arbitrary at all. It's not an abuse of discretion for the division to select the Denver Boulder Greeley as the metric to be used to adjust for inflation. Thank you.
Bailiff, would you add 1 minute to council's rebuttal time here, since we allowed other council to go over a little bit?
Thank you, Your Honor. Oh, let's start with the point that Judge Richmond just made, which is that this is a constitutional amendment. This is not easily remedied. And as Judge Hawthorne pointed out, the plain language uses the word the consumer price index. This means a specific consumer price index. The only specific consumer price indexes that we have are the BLS published indices that we've been talking about. The language doesn't use the word or a consumer price index, which would denote any index. It specifically uses the word the to mean a specific statewide index. Unlike what Mr. Blue just discussed, here, the appellants have consistently held the same position at these minimum wage order hearings in front of the Division of Labor, which is, it's not that they don't want any increases in the minimum wage, it's that they want a consistent statewide metric used, as was prescribed in Amendment 42. Now, as Judge Roman brought up, this is a little bit of a shell game. This certainly is an issue, especially in constitutional amendments here, where these are amendments that are drafted by proponents. They're not drafted through the legislative process typically, and this one was not drafted through the legislative process that has the checks and balances associated with legislative drafting of constitutional amendments. And here, we do believe, the appellants do believe, that there was some type of shell game, there was some type of maneuvering. We certainly know that the drafters could have used the Denver Boulder Greeley Index. It's certainly been used in other statutes and amendments, but chose not to. And that certainly is a factual issue, whether they chose not to, to purposely mislead voters or just to get some more votes out of rural areas. That would need to be a factual issue that this court should remand back down to the district court to figure out, because that is central to the issue as to why the specific language was used and why the drafters specifically used language that is undefined and doesn't exist. Another point here is that consumer price index used for Colorado is not defined. It wasn't defined in the amendment. As the Lord pointed out, it wasn't defined anywhere in the blue book. So the voters didn't have a clear idea of what consumer price index used for Colorado meant.
So it's not a defined term. It's not a term of art, as you argue in your brief at all. It's an undefined term.
It's an undefined, non-existent term. It's never been defined in any Colorado amendment, statute, or any case law. It just does not exist and is not defined. And it's for those reasons that this amendment is unconstitutionally vague. And if for some reason there is some meaning behind these words, then the Division of Labor needs to apply those terms that it's bound by. It needs to be the consumer price index used for Colorado. In other words, a statewide metric. In either term, whether it's definable or it's not, this court should find that the district court below made an error and should reverse this case. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, counsel. And thank you, counsel, both of you, for your arguments. This matter will stand submitted, and an opinion will be issued in due course. Thank you. Thank you.